You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Sagebrush is on the decline here in the West, including right here in Idaho, thanks in part to wildfires and loss of habitat. We're talking upwards of 165 million acres of land. Now, this plant is critical to many species, including sage grouse, mule deer, pygmy rabbits, and other plants. Scientists at Idaho State University, the University of Idaho, and Boise State are studying sagebrush. They're trying to find better ways to manage this critical resource. Lenora Biddleston is an assistant professor in the Department of Biological Sciences at Boise State University. She studies the bacteria and other microscopic bugs that live on the leaves of sagebrush plants in the Boise foothills. Think of, you know, Dr. Seuss in his book, Horton Hears a Who. She is joining us live. Welcome, Lenora.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. So in the book, Horton Hears a Who, for maybe people who aren't quite familiar, Horton is an elephant and he finds tiny creatures called whos on a speck of dust. So is it fair to say you're trying to find the whos that live on these sagebrush leaves?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. There's all these tiny little microbes that are living all around us and we can't see them, but they're there. And we now know that they play really active roles in their ecosystems.
So what kind of, you know, whos or microbes have you found so far?
Well, we're seeing a lot of different fungi that are colonizing the leaves of sagebrush. And it seems like a lot of them may have ways in which they could potentially benefit their host plant. So we don't know a lot about it yet. It still is just being characterized. We're just starting to learn, you know, what's there and what they might be doing. But it's pretty exciting to try and uncover this little unseen world living on the leaves.
But right now, there's not kind of like, I guess, what you would call a master list of what kind of microbes are on these leaves, correct?
Right. It's completely unknown. So no one has yet studied the different microbes that are associating with the above ground parts of sagebrush. And we're hoping that learning a bit more about these is going to give us some more insight into this whole ecosystem.
Okay. So is that why you want to know what's living on sagebrush, is because of the ecosystem, or are there other reasons as well?
Well, I think there's two different reasons. So one is that we think that they may have some positive effect on their host species. And we want to look into ways in which these microbes may help with things like drought tolerance or avoiding pests or pathogens. But also just from a very sort of basic science standpoint, we're really interested to understand more about these little communities and sort of how they assemble and what they're reacting to. So we're also looking at how these communities relate to things like humidity and temperature and the time of the year. So we're doing a study across time to understand more just about the variability of these communities and what's there and how that changes.
Let me reintroduce you for folks who are just joining us. We're talking with Lenora Biddleston. She's an assistant professor in biological sciences at Boise State University. She studies microbes that live on sagebrush leaves. And that's what we're talking about today is sagebrush and how the ecosystem is being impacted by this. So, Lenora, do you know if these microbes are good or bad for sagebrush?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we don't yet really know, partly just because they haven't been characterized and examined. But what you see is that when we look at these leaves, we're looking at healthy leaves. So we're looking at leaves that don't show any signs of pathogens or infection. So it's unlikely that these microbes are really causing disease or problems with their host. In fact, it's more likely that they have a beneficial interaction and that they might actually help with growth or stress tolerance. But they could also just be living there, just like, you know, tiny who communities that happen to live on sagebrush leaves. And kind of a parallel that I think about is the human microbiome, right? Where we do sometimes have pathogens, but we also have these microbes that help us on our skin and in our gut to avoid infections and to help us digest and get nutrients from our food.
So we haven't had very good luck transplanting or restoring sagebrush, have we, like in the past?
No. Yeah. So there's been a lot of efforts because it's in huge decline. So I guess more than 50% of the habitat has now been lost. And this is because of wildfires, invasive plants, land conversion, and other issues. So there's been a lot of efforts to try and restore sagebrush, as it is this plant that really is the foundation of the ecosystem. It supports a lot of other plants and animals to be able to thrive within this large rangeland ecosystem. So a lot of times when people plant out these plants for restoration, you know, they die within a year or two and they don't really establish. And we're trying to understand more about why that might be and some different ways to try and improve restoration efforts.
So I know this might seem like a really simple question, but why is sagebrush so important to the landscape here in the West?
Yeah, it's really this foundation, and it's considered a nurse plant, which means that it can actually help other plants to grow. You know, often we think about plants as competing with each other for sunlight and water and nutrients. But in some harsh ecosystems, like kind of the high desert steppe, the sagebrush can actually provide some shade and some additional nutrients that allow other plants to establish and grow. So when you get rid of the sagebrush, you also get rid of a lot of other native plants that are really important to the ecosystem as well. And then there also are these different animals that use sagebrush as their main food, especially in winter. You'll notice that in winter, sagebrush is one of the few plants that still has green leaves. And those leaves are pretty toxic. There's a lot of chemistry in there, but there are certain animals that have figured out ways to detoxify that chemistry and to be able to eat those leaves and use them as important food.
So you're about a year into your study. What are you hoping for next with this?
We want to understand more about how the chemistry of the plant influences what microbes are there, because a lot of this toxicity, you know, it's not just toxic for animals, it's also antimicrobial. So that means that these microbes living on the leaves, they must be able to also sort of either metabolize or avoid that chemistry of the leaves. And we want to understand more about that interaction, that relationship. We also are starting a study where we're introducing microbes into the leaves of seedlings that we have in growth chambers, and then adding a stress, like a drought stress, in order to see if maybe the microbes may actually help the plant avoid some of these stresses that are happening with increased climate change.
And who will then use the information that you're gathering, I guess, or who will you hope will be using this information?
Yeah, well, I think on one level, it'll just help us to inform a little bit more about what we know about microbes that live on the leaves of plants. So partly the basic scientific community, but also I'm hoping that, you know, if we do see positive effects, that we can work with land managers, with different agencies to try and see if this might be a potential way. Maybe we could find ways to actually add microbes back onto the leaves of seedlings that we're planting out, things like that, that may be a potential restoration avenue for the future.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us about this today. It's really fascinating. We've been speaking with Lenora Biddleston. She's an assistant professor in biological sciences at Boise State University. She's studying microbes that live on sagebrush leaves, and the hope is to figure out how to make sure we continue to restore sagebrush because it is so important to our ecosystem. Thank you again for the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
Absolutely. Up next, lessons learned after 2 years of the COVID pandemic.